everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This episode number 255, recorded on Sunday, March 8th, 2020, and we have a full house here tonight. We have Lizzie, Tim, and Eric. Lizzie, how are you?
I'm very good, and I'm eating ice cream.
Ice cream. Do you bring enough for everybody?
Obviously not.
Oh, God. Nice, Liz. Real nice. How are you? I am doing fantastic tonight, Lou. How about you?
Did you bring ice cream for the group?
I didn't even bring ice cream for me, so.
God. Lizzie doesn't share food.
So wrong.
Wow. And she wanted to bring us down to Disney World to go with her. I'm like, I don't know.
I'll share food with you there.
Okay. I am doing well, Tim. Thank you for asking. And finally, we have Eric. Eric, how are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. Still adjusting from flip-flopping my sleep schedule around, Otherwise, I'm good, other than I have not looked over these show notes at all. So I'm going into tonight's episode completely blind.
Awesome.
So I'm hoping.
As am I. So it works out well.
I'm hoping Tim did not mess anything up, Tim.
Like putting in stories he doesn't know anything about.
Like I don't mess things up.
Or more like really bad, what were they thinking things?
But what were they thinking things are supposed to be bad?
Yeah, they're not
supposed to be disturbing. I shouldn't still be thinking about them after we're done recording, you know?
I think it has thinking in the title, so maybe you are supposed to be.
But it also has they. It doesn't have what was Eric thinking or what is Eric still thinking.
We might have to get Eric a pair of those. Or
what is Eric discussing with this therapist? Like, none of those things are in the title.
New rule, keep thinking about it.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I'll keep thinking about it. Okay. About what you said, not about the stuff.
Well, we're going to keep us on track today because we have a lot to go over tonight.
Good luck.
I know. And I want to go to bed sometime tonight. Timothy, why don't you give a shout out to all of our Patreon donors? Not all of them, but at least our premium level donors.
All of them. That's a lot. Yeah. Yeah, no. So we're
both of them. Yeah.
Tonight, I wanted to give a shout out to our premium members over on Patreon. These are the folks who are contributing $10 or more a month, and that's obviously a huge, huge help to us. We do have a lot of folks at the $5 and $1 and everywhere in between, but the $10 folks, obviously, that's big for us. So just a quick run through of that list. We have David, who is really active with us over in Discord and also in the Twitch chat here very regularly. We have Fred, who is one of our show hosts, Gavin, Jeremiah, Frank, Rusty, and Carrie, who many of you also know. She's another one of our hosts, and she takes care of a lot of our website stuff, and she takes care of wrangling Mike, which we need to talk about, but that's for a different
We usually do.
Yeah.
So we need to get Mike on one of these video streams.
So what's next, Lou?
Next is our housekeeping stuff to let people know how to get a hold of us and tell the people they can find each of us individually. So if you want to send an email to us, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. If you want to find us on the social medias, we are in a whole bunch of places. You can find Random Chatter at Random Chatter on Twitter. You can find Random Chatter on Instagram as well. Timothy, where are you on the internet?
On Twitter, you can find me at Qui-Gon Tim, that is Tim with two M's. And on Instagram, you can find me at some call me Tim 1138, that is Tim with one M.
One Tim. Yeah. One Tim.
Yeah. I got it right this time.
Eric, where are you on social media?
Oh, I'm all over the place. Metaphorically, I'm not actually on a lot of things. Yeah, no. So you can find me on Twitter at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/CineFan. That's CYNEFAN. Right now, that's currently where we're streaming this and the other shows, though it will soon be moving to the Random Chatter Network account. So be prepared to follow us there soon as well.
Awesome. And Lizzie, I know you're very active on social media, probably more so than the rest of us together, but where are you on
I am very active. You can find me on Twitter at TWT About Lizzie. You can find me on Instagram at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie, at The Thrifty Duckling, which is my small shop, or at NITC Media, which is my other sister podcast network.
Very nice. You can find me on Twitter at Lou Skywalker, that's Skywalker without the E. You can find me on Instagram at Six Inch Hero or Lou Secchi. You can also talk to
You know, the two of you need to figure this whole letter thing out. Dropping the E, adding extra M's.
I don't like, add another Lou, though. I've only got one
English.
Lou.
I haven't added.
No, they can do it.
As long, earlier, apparently.
They can do it as long as they keep it consistent across social media platforms.
Well, there's that.
Damn. Too. Yeah, there I guess go. So.
Two M's.
You can also find us on Discord. Easy there, Tim.
It's too long.
So we do have a pretty active Discord server for the network. If you want to find out more about that, go to ramcharter.com/discord. And you can check out all of our free channels there for all the shows and the main lobby. And if you want to get more involved with us on Discord, if you subscribe to us via Patreon, you can go to ramcharter.com/Patreon and get access to all of our channels on Discord. We have everything from pets to photography to spoilers for all the shows that we tend to watch and dive into deeply.
You can also clearly find labeled spoilers, by
exactly,
the way.
Exactly. Yes.
Don't worry
yes.
about it.
Yep. If you haven't seen
and
it,
I just discovered. I discovered a cool thing. You guys can't see it because there's a delay on the video while we're recording.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah, like when I get my coffee mug, it goes right into Lizzie's head here. And I just, it's like I'm pulling my drink out of Lizzie's face and then I drink and then I set it back down. And yeah.
Don't pull things out of my head.
It's well, so weird. At least it's a good thing. It's coffee.
He's that's, reaching that's right out the side thing. Of your nose. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Tim, we got to do something.
Sorry.
There we go.
Okay, now even Eric's been fired. So it's just Lizzie.
That's no way.
It. Yeah, it's just Liz.
We've all been fired.
This is my dream.
Liz, you're running everything.
To be with all the you. Three of us.
Guys, welcome to Random Chatter featuring the one and only Lizzie and only Lizzie.
Okay, so lastly, we have stuff you can purchase. You can get t-shirts and so forth with our logo on them. So go to ramchatter.com/store and check out everything we have to offer there. Now we're going to get to the part of the show where we talk about what we've been watching lately. I haven't been doing as much as some people have, but keep up with Clone Wars, the new stuff for season 7. I'm still really loving Picard. That is probably my favorite show on TV right now. I'm really, really enjoying that. I'm catching up on Altered Carbon so I can see the new seasons of that, and I'm catching up on Westworld 2, revisiting season 2 so I can watch season 3 when it comes out next week.
I need to do that. Is it next week? Oh my gosh.
15th, right? Which is probably next week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've got to rewatch that.
Yeah.
It's about a week.
Yeah. So I'm about halfway wow. through season 2. But, while we're talking to you, Eric, what have you been looking at?
Well, I've been watching the new season of Altered Carbon. I've got one episode left, I think.
Okay.
And I'm very happy with it. It's a very intense series. If you haven't either read the books or watched the series so far, it's on Netflix exclusively, at least here in the U.S. It is great. I highly recommend it. I've also been watching Avenue 5. I've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved this past week's episode. So Lou has this reputation. There's an ongoing joke where we used to play Star Wars The Old Republic. And you can do these instances where it's a mission where you bring a group of people into it. And in addition to combat and stuff, there are story choices you have to make. And one of the tough decisions you have to make is that there are bombs scattered throughout the engineering section. And the only way to make sure that you'll clear all the bombs in time to make sure that there's no risk to the ship is to space the engineering crew.
It wasn't that hard of a decision.
Just open the airlocks and space them. Yeah. For this bozo over here, it was never a tough decision. He could not mash that spacing them button fast enough every single time. So
wow.
Avenue 5 had a great episode this past week where, man, I so want to spoil it, and I so don't. I'll just leave it at the fact that, because I know Lou is watching, and he will catch up. There is spacing. I'll just leave it at that. And there is spacing like no other. And it's awesome, and I love it. So I've been watching that. That's been really good, too. And then, yeah, Picard, and that's about all I've been really keeping up with recently. Oh, and I watched Safety Not Guaranteed today, because we're going to be covering it on Movie Chatter this coming week
right.
as part of our time travel movies. And I won't say too much about it here. I'll wait for that show. But that's all I've got.
Okay. Lizzie, what have you been viewing lately? What kind of rom-coms?
I haven't watched any rom-coms okay. lately.
Oh, okay. I don't believe that.
I haven't. I actually haven't been watching that much this week because there's a new ride at Disney called Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And so I went for the opening of it, and it's pretty adorable. And I also
watched a video of that, of the whole ride through, which I know is not the same. I hate doing that, but I'm not making it to Disney World soon. It looks really good.
It's so cool. It's like, it's the track of Great American Movie Ride, which was like one of my favorite rides at Hollywood Studios. But I love the new ride. It's so cool and definitely worth the sacrifice. But so I did the park opening of that on Wednesday, and I got to ride Rise again. So that was really cool. So I don't know. Like, I've just been at Disney a lot this week. But I did watch the new episode of Outlander, which premiered today. It comes out on Sundays. It's we're in season 5. I started Good Omens, which I'm really excited about because I love me some David Tennant. And it's definitely fantastic. I think I'm on episode 5. I really like it. My friend Melly is obsessed with it. And she was like, you have to watch it. And I was like, enough said. We have very similar tastes. And then what else? Did I put something else? Oh, Arrowverse still. I've actually taken a little break from Arrowverse because I'm just annoyed at like most of the shows. So I'll get back to it. The Flash is my favorite, and I've already caught all the way up. Yeah. Besides the new seasons, but I've caught all the way up to Flash. I'm almost caught up to Arrow, but I'm mad at it in season 7, so I'm taking a break. Supergirl is going to be lucky if I finish her, to be very honest. I'm very mad at her. And then I really like Legends of Tomorrow, so I will finish that one. But I just
that's the hardest one for me to get into. That one and Black Lightning.
Black Lightning's next, and then when Batwoman makes her way to Netflix, I will catch up with her. And then I'll be closer to getting to Crisis on Infinite Earths, which will happen this year, but right, I'm not promising when.
I bit the bullet, just watched it. Like, I just said, no, I'm skipping ahead to watch those.
You also watch ride videos.
I actually caught up on Arrowverse stuff like we talked about before, but you're absolutely right. I think Flash is the best of the bunch right now, and I think it's been consistently best of the bunch. Black Lightning got a lot better in, is it season 3 we're in now? I think so. It got a lot better. I thought season 1 was pretty weak, was pretty tough to get into it, but I'm much happier with it now. And
So I'll have to give it another try then.
It was tough to power through the weak points, but it's getting better now. So, okay. And Timothy, we saved you for last. So what have you been watching?
Oh gosh. I've had a bunch
now
of stuff.
Now onto box office. Sorry.
Wow. Wasn't even subtle about that one.
Have you guys caught any of Seven Worlds, One Planet?
No,
never heard of
this BBC thing. Is a like epic like nature thing. And the seven worlds are each of the continents. And so they're doing stuff like, you know, trudging around these continents and filming animals, you know, just kind of like animal stuff and nature and what they're doing and surviving and all that. And really, quite honestly, like one of the great things about it compared to these like nature things that we've had forever is that one, we're getting it in HD or ultra high def, and two, drones. So they're getting drones to fly up over these areas and they are catching like absolutely incredible things and like really, really awesome stuff. So you can catch that on BBC America.
So just curious, what makes that different than Planet Earth, right? Because they did Planet Earth's volumes 1 and 2 for BBC America, right?
Yes. And this is
amazing content.
Yeah. Yeah. This is actually, I believe the guy who's doing Seven Worlds, One Planet is I think he was one of the main people on Planet Earth and then wanted to do another related project.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, really, very cool. I'm surprised you guys haven't heard of it. It's like it's being advertised all over the place. Let's see. SWAT is back from their hiatus. Castlevania season 3. I got into the first couple episodes of it, and it is absolutely fantastic. If you guys haven't watched any of Castlevania on Netflix, really, really great. It's an animated series. If you were fans of the game, that's great. If you weren't fans of the game, that's still fine. It's still a fantastic series. Really, really well done. I think it's hilarious. It definitely not safe for work. Clone Wars, keeping up on that. a couple nights ago, watched Jurassic Park. It just happened to be on TV, and you know, the movie still holds up. It's not like it's been that long since I've seen it, but it's just a really still a fantastic movie. That and also The Matrix. Saw The Matrix, most of it tonight, and truly legitimately.
Yeah,
that movie still holds up. And I mean, now they're showing it on TV. Actually, both those are being shown on TV in ultra high def. So, you know, they're just being bumped up and they're fantastic. The Doctor Who season finale, which was really great. It was like mind blowing what they did with the story there. And then a couple of old movies. You guys know I like old movies. Bombardier, which is a World War II movie, and The Thief of Baghdad, which is a like Arabian Nights style movie. It's actually one of the more popular Arabian Nights movies, won like 3 Oscars or something. So, good array of stuff.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, box office update for the weekend. Onward, in its first week, took the opening took the weekend at $40 million. That's the animated Pixar movie. The Invisible Man, in the second week, brought another $15 million in for a total of $52.7. Anybody see that? Because it's been looking really good, but I haven't.
Haha, has anyone seen it?
A friend of mine saw it, and she hated it.
Really?
Really?
Okay.
And that's surprising because anyone who I've seen, who I've spoken to who's seen it, they said it's incredible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her and her husband both hated it.
I'm really looking forward to it. And I just found out that apparently Amazon is doing some sort of promotion now through, I'd have to look up who it is. I wish I put it in the show notes. One of the big movie ticket companies where if you add their app to your Alexa and purchase a ticket through them, you get a free ticket. It's not buy one, get one free. Like you get a free ticket if you install their app and get that free ticket through that app. And then you can just delete the app if you want. So I'm going to use that to go see the Invisible Man probably, or A Quiet Place 2. I don't know. One of the two.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's see. The rest of the top five here, we have The Way Back in its first week, making $8.5 million. Son of the Hedgehog still hanging in there with another $8 million for the week, bringing its total to $140.
I don't understand it, but hey,
it's making money.
That's fantastic.
The more I look back on it, it wasn't that bad.
I mean, I'm not going to go see it, but it's out there. And finally, in the top five, Call of the Wild brought another $7 million in its third week, total of $57.5.
So real quick about Onward, two things. Number one, in the chat, they asked, is $40 million low for Onward? Yes, this is actually one of the lowest openings for a Pixar movie. And part of it is this is not the normal release window for Pixar movies. And then the other part is obviously the coronavirus. And that number is domestic, but they're also looking at overall like China right now, which is a big box office for Pixar films, is like shut down. So that's also affecting it. And the other thing about Onward is apparently people are saying that this is one of the better Pixar movies in a long time. It's the best one since Coco, and I haven't seen Coco. I think it's one of the only ones I haven't seen. Coco and The Last Dinosaur I haven't seen. But they're saying that this one is really, really, really good.
Yeah, it was
on my radar.
The movie, it was projected to Onward was projected to hit about $50 million. So, you know, falling $10 million short is pretty significant.
Yeah. I mean, that's a 20% cut. That's big.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I think if it wasn't for Corona, it would have made it.
I agree. Yeah.
That's
I don't think it reflects
that on the movie. To be considered adjusted.
Oh, yeah. And I think that, I mean, especially going forward, I think Mulan's going to hit that. I think The Quiet Place 2 is going to hit it. And honestly, like, Tim, you might... I mean, of the four of us here, you are definitely the most in tune with this. I'm guessing that the peak of the coronavirus effect is sociologically speaking, like as far as like people staying at home and not going out and stuff like that. I mean, we're going to hit a peak, we're going to hit a plateau, and then it's going to drop off. But when that falls, a lot of people are wondering, and I'm kind of thinking, depending on how things go, like, probably May is going to be really, really rough at the box office.
Yeah, I think May is going to be. Yeah, I think May is going to be tough. Right now, what people are looking at is essentially delays going out into like April, May. And, you know, we've got a handful of delays and cancellations that we're talking about here later in the show that have to do with movies and other pop culture things. And so we're obviously going to see some significant residual impacts of that as well. It's going to be challenging. I mean, it's real significant. We're talking billions of dollars of economic impact, and that's, I mean, we're not belittling the impact to lives in this.
Oh no, no.
But that's, we're you know, making it relevant to our discussion here, and yeah, exactly. Billions of dollars of impact. I mean, I just to kind of illustrate that, just to kind of jump ahead to one of our notes here, No Time to Die, the next Bond movie, Bond 25. They're delaying to November because of COVID-19, and because they know that it's not going to do well in the box office overall, or it's going to do less because people aren't going to movie theaters, and also because the vast majority of theaters in China are closed. China is the second largest market in the world, second to the United States, and so MGM
theaters in Japan too, I think, right?
Yes, yeah. And a lot of them in Italy and that kind of stuff. Plus, they're also wanting to be responsible with this and not trying. They're trying to not encourage people to go into theaters. So part of it is economic, and part of it, I think, is a little more altruistic. MGM expects that they're just basically off of that delay, they're losing $30 million just by moving it.
Now, I thought that the Bond movies traditionally have come out more in the November season anyway.
Yes, they generally have. There is some other competition in November, so that may be a reason why they originally didn't have it there. But yeah, I mean, basically they're losing $30 million solely in the marketing that they've done now, which is that's money spent. And then they're going to be suspending marketing for a few months, and then they'll kick the marketing back up again. Right. So they're basically having to respend all of that to get to the same level of marketing on it and put all that on a hold. So,
So for those interested, there's a website. Is it canceledyet.com? And it's keeping a running list of all the things that have or have not been announced as canceled. This is updated as of March 6th. That includes South by Southwest, WWDC, which is no yet, by the way. It's not yet been canceled, but people are expecting it will be. TED conferences, Coachella, it says, quote, sadly, no. Go figure. But they include PAX West, E3, Seattle Comic Con, New York Comic Con, and they're keeping updates on different events. So if there are things you're planning to go to this year, I mean, I only just discovered it through another news site, so I can't vouch for it, but is it canceledyet.com seems to be aggregating a lot of that stuff, so it might be worth checking out. Mm-hmm. Confirm with your venue before you make any changes to travel plans, though, before you cancel or don't cancel or whatever. But
sure. Well, that is our first news item, but let's just finish up the opening here before we get into all that stuff. So this week we have in the box office that is still coming out. We have, I Still Believe, The Hunt and Bloodshot for the rest of March. Supposedly we have My Spy, A Quiet Place 2, and Mulan. And Tim, why don't you bring us through our RCN movie draft update?
All right. So with the movie draft, Eric is still holding lead pretty strong. Shannon has entered this week with The Way Back and Onward. Those were her first two movies. So, you know, I mean, still, even though Onward brought in less than expected, still a good, strong showing there. I'm still predicting. I don't know if Mike's necessarily going to win, but I think that Mike is still going to have a really strong showing at the end of this with A Quiet Place 2 and Mulan. And that said, I mean, the qualifier here is all the stuff we've been talking about with COVID-19 that, you know, it is going to impact box office numbers even in the U.S. Now with the audience draft, Erasure is in the lead and Mits is pretty close behind. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this shakes out over not even the next few weeks, because I think with how A Quiet Place 2 and Mulan are they're going to have legs. They're going to be playing out for probably at least a month in this before we actually see definitively who the winner is going to be.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So let's get right into our COVID-19 discussion. And we already mentioned a lot of this stuff already, but so South by Southwest was canceled. Emerald City Comic Con's been delayed. They're doing it in the summertime now, which is interesting. I mean, how do you reschedule a con like that? It's kind of tough to do.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is both South by Southwest and Emerald City Comic Con both had a lot of big names, big companies, sponsors, guests, that kind of stuff, dropping out.
They didn't have a choice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So they kind of didn't. That. They kind of didn't have a choice with it.
I mean, there's no convention. If they open the doors, you know,
Yeah.
So that is tough. And then finally, we talked about No Time to Die being delayed. You know, pushing it back until November. I mean, you know, all smart moves, I think. And I think part of it is a financial thing, and part of it is a let's do the right thing for the people and try to keep people safe. I just don't know where it's going to go. We're seeing a lot more stuff ramping up in the news in the last few weeks, or I should say the last week. And even just today, we're hearing, you know, from the government saying it's going to get more heightened, I guess, in the next week. So,
yeah,
I mean, this is getting very interesting.
I'm sorry. This is like the worst thing to sidetrack the conversation with, and I apologize, but what flavor of Haagen-Dazs is that? Because I so want ice cream.
Ooh, it's right vanilla now. Swiss almond. It is my favorite.
Okay. Oh, that's very good. I've had that, yeah.
Oh, it's got this little, look.
Oh, yeah, yep.
So mean.
Now, we don't condone sharing ice cream, especially in the midst of COVID-19.
BYO ice cream.
Wash your hands, people. Wash your hands.
Yes.
Oh, boy. So, I mean, you know, what kind of overall impacts do we think we're going to see from the changes we're making in our lives from COVID-19 overall? I mean, entertainment-wise.
Are we talking, okay, so entertainment-wise, I think the two big things are really what we're already reporting on, the conventions and different events. And I think that... than going to movie theaters. Like, a lot of people are also looking at concerts. We don't really talk about music that much here on the network because music is just like so all over the place as far as interests and releases and things like that. But I know a lot of people who tend to go to a lot of concerts who are now not going to concerts that much. But I think in a movie theater, you probably touch more things. You're touching the armrest. You're touching the bathroom doors. Right. You're touching your popcorn and your drink that you're getting from the person at the counter. And while that's just one person and maybe they're fine, they're also handling, you know, credit cards and receipts from every person in the line. And so there's a lot of areas where, and people lean on the counters while they're waiting on their popcorn to be given to them and stuff. There's a lot of surface area there, which is how this seems to be primarily transmitted. And then travel, taking flights, things like that. A lot of big companies are even doing job interviews over video teleconferencing now, Skype calls, Google Hangouts, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest things that we're going to see in our day-to-day lives are probably going to be, for our audience, in the context of what this show covers, is going to be people are going to be going to see fewer movies and all these conventions. I think that even now, like San Diego Comic-Con is when? That's later in the year. Like
July, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
So that may or may not happen. We've got some things in August, like Dragon Con and Star Wars Celebration. I think Twitch Con is in October. New York Comic Con is in
October.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So
New York City Comic Con is pretty much the closeout of the major cons
of the season. Yeah.
Right.
So we don't know how that stuff is going to work, but I imagine we're going to see more closings. Everybody, and it's not even. Yeah. Just the organizers for these events themselves. Now we're seeing governors step in and declaring states of emergency for different states here in the U.S. And saying, listen, we are requesting that you not hold these. And they're going to the convention organizers and saying, please shut down your convention.
Yeah.
So I expect WWDC is going to be shut down any day. Now we're going to get an announcement on that one.
Something that they can actually do when they declare a saving emergency is they can limit gatherings.
Public gatherings, yeah.
That's, yeah. That's a legal provision that most states have. I know we do in New York State, and a lot of them do. I mean,
and that's one of the reasons for declaring a state of emergency.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
And I just thought today
because Italy it gives certain emergency powers
of any more than 1,000.
Yeah. So it's my guess on this. One, we're seeing the pace of things actually slow down in China in terms of new cases. We are seeing we're still seeing an increase in new cases in the U.S. and in Europe and in other places. And that's just simply because it's, you know, it's like a wave. It's still moving into those areas. And probably in a few weeks, we're going to start to see that go down. This virus is very similar to SARS. I worked SARS as an emergency manager. And SARS basically runs the whole line with it basically ran the same time frame as influenza. And I expect that this will also. So by summer, this should largely be gone. That's what we should be at with this. So hopefully things like Star Wars Celebration, New York City Comic Con, that kind of stuff will be we'll still continue on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spider Shan in the chat was asking about E3. According to this website, is it canceled yet? E3 currently is listed in uh-oh status. So it has not yet officially been canceled, but from this and from other things I've been reading, and that's updated as of March 6th. Today is March 8th. I would expect E3 to probably not happen, but it's not been canceled yet.
Yeah, and it's funny because I know Wizard World was in Chicago this past weekend. C2E2 just happened, the week before, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a con up in Boston this coming weekend or next weekend, I think. So things are still happening, but things are changing as we go ahead. So be interesting to see what happens. And as we go forward, and as Tim always says, wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wash your friend's hands.
Well, I think it'd be okay, actually. If you're using soap and both of you are in the same hot water.
I don't know. I tried and they got very cranky. I would not advise it.
Well, I think you should ask first. If you just start washing somebody's hands.
Oh, so I have to ask permission.
Even if they are a friend, yeah.
Try to make sure that my friends and coworkers are safe.
I want to make sure you're safe. I'm going to wash your hands. Is that okay with you? Yeah. Always ask before you wash somebody else's hands.
Okay.
speaking of Clueless, Clueless returns to theaters for 25th anniversary. I thought it was a great segue, wasn't it?
That was so, clutch, man. Clutch. So
you guys remember the Clueless movie, right?
Who doesn't, by the way?
Exactly, So 25 years, it makes me feel old. Older than I already do feel, right, Eric?
Oh, I can help with that.
Thanks.
I can help you feel... If you're not feeling old enough.
No, I'm good. Thank you. So, yeah, it's coming back May 3rd, 4th, and 6th at 700 theaters in the U.S. And it might be something cool to see in a theater again, I guess.
I love it.
Yeah, after A Quiet Place 2.
We already had this chat.
After The Invisible Man, yeah.
We already did this.
Right, though, Lou. No, I'm trying to be agreeable this time.
It was a fun movie.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I love it so much. I would see it in the theater. It's
not worth the money to me.
it's an iconic film.
It is.
It really is.
If I had a group of people going and we were just going as a goofy fun event, I would go. But I would go for the hangout, not for, like of the movies I would watch and pay money to go see again. This isn't on my radar. Like it's cute, but no.
Okay. Let's see, Tim, you put in here that James Lipton has passed away. He was 93. He was the host of Inside the Actors Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And he was best known for, what was the question he always asked at the end?
What's your favorite swear word?
No,
there's a whole list.
One of them. He had a whole list.
There was one that's probably about something about getting to the pearly gates, but I can't remember what it was now, top of my head.
Oh, what would you want them to say at the pearly gate. Oh, it was at St. Peter or something. Yeah. I'm not Catholic. I'm Protestant. Like so I don't, we have a whole different admission process at the gates. We go around the side entrance.
Yeah. Well, and you guys use Ticketmaster, right?
Not anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. No. What was the one that used the movie pass? That's what it was.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We could just come and go as we liked.
But yeah, he was 93.
So. That's really sad. And he did not look 93.
No, he didn't.
At all. I would have put him well like preserved. In the 70s. Well preserved. Yes. Lots of formaldehyde.
Maybe that's what killed him.
Loved of all of the different interviews that you see celebrities do, so many of them are just fluff pieces and they're useless. And I loved watching him do interviews with people, even people who I wasn't that interested in. He always found ways of drawing them out. There are certain interviewers who are really good at getting people to open up about certain topics. You think of Barbara Walters, you think of James Lipton, and I've tried to kind of study that, not that I'm anywhere near that, but like it's one of those things where you pay attention to them. If you do things like podcasting and you're trying to learn how to conduct good interviews and what kinds of things to ask people, he was just so good at it. And so many of those, so interesting. I love like the Robin Williams one, and there were so many.
He did a lot of really terrific ones. So, I mean, this was done for a, it was actually done in front of a film school classes.
Yeah.
Which was the great thing. So like at the end, the students would get to ask questions of these iconic people on stage who they've, you know, probably been watching their entire lives in many cases. And yeah, really just very cool. I'm sure they can be found somewhere.
Many of them are on streaming DVD.
Library. DVD doesn't help.
I don't know about streaming. if you really want to watch it, what I would do is, and I mean this like all kidding aside, I would say hop onto Netflix if you have a Netflix subscription and sign up for a month of the DVD delivery. And just throw a bunch of them into your queue and watch them until you're done and then cancel the DVD delivery. But I mean, they're that good. They're worth going out of your way for if you are into movies and television enough to be listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Or, and I mean this seriously, hop in a time machine and go back in time to when it was on and watch it. Serious.
They only are if you weren't alive then, because otherwise there's a whole time paradox.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Have you seen Primer?
Just don't touch anything while you're there. Just watch it and get out.
You'd think it'd be that easy, but I'm telling you.
Wash your hands and keep them off of the timeline.
They are available for purchase from Prime Video also.
As seasons, I hope. Because I ain't doing probably individual episodes. I'm not that
episode probably. One episode is $25.
Right.
And you can also buy DVDs from Amazon.
Okay.
So
I am happy to announce now that after what seems like probably a whole year, in the next movie draft, I'll be getting Greyhound because it's finally being released. They've updated it for June 12th. So I paid for
that's
it.
That's not an automatic
like,
thing.
Like last year. Yeah, I paid for it already. I paid for it a lot last year.
No, we refunded those credits.
No, we didn't.
We did.
I never got that money back.
You have them back.
No,
you just didn't spend them on anything because the draft was closed.
I already paid for it. I'm getting, and the movie looks great. I mean, you know, I was ahead of the time because, you know, Tom Hanks in a
awesome. Yeah. You know, the last Tom Hanks movie, this is something I didn't talk about on the podcast. The last Tom Hanks movie I was very unimpressed with.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes. Yeah. I love the story of that guy. Not Fred Rogers himself. I love Fred Rogers himself. And of all of the people in modern history that, like, I would love to have gotten an opportunity to sit down and have a meal with or something and just pick their brain for a while, he is, like, right at the top of the list. I like the documentaries I've seen. I've seen at least two, maybe three. And then I watched this movie, and I was really looking forward to it, and I thought it was very underwhelming. I love Tom Hanks' performance, But I guess I was expecting it to be more about Fred Rogers and less about this other guy. And then I guess having watched the documentaries, what they got across of this other guy just kind of felt like, I want to like it. And if you don't know anything about that story, I'd say watch it. But yeah, I'd also say like watch one of the documentaries instead. I hate to say that.
Yeah, well, but it still doesn't, you know, hamper the fact that I'll be getting this movie for free in this movie draft. So I'm just psyched about that.
We'll talk.
Anyway,
you won't enjoy it, but we'll talk.
Come on.
Hey, Greyhound, though, is
moderating the next movie draft. So
Greyhound, though, by the way, does look fantastic. This is a World War II movie. And, you know, Tom Hanks loves the era. He loves doing films in this,
producing it?
Like Saving Private Ryan. He is in it. And I believe he's also producing.
Both, yeah.
And this is set, I believe, in the Pacific. And he is a captain of maybe a battleship or something. The trailer's fantastic. It's like a 2-minute long trailer, and the visuals are incredible. It looks like a great story. Very excited about this. This releases on June 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, it does look like a lot of fun.
As all war movies are, because it's war and there's people dying. It's fun. Bring your kids.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Anyway, so the latest entrance into streaming services, is it Quibi? Is that how you pronounce this one?
Quibi. It's short for Quick Bits or Quick Bites or something like that. But yeah, it's people are just calling it Quibi.
Short shows. They're saying under 10 minutes long. And it's debuting on April 6th, so right around the corner. I don't know much about this, but I've seen the ads for it, and it's like
they've got like a billion celebrities for it.
I know,
and they really do.
Run by Katzenberg.
I just don't like get it. It confounds me. I'm like
$2 billion dollars in additional funding. Like, this is a real deal. The more I'm reading about this, I'm realizing that this is going to be a serious thing. And I'm not saying like I'm all in, but this is definitely something to keep on your radar and pay attention to. I signed up for I know you haven't got to it yet in the show notes here, but there's a 90-day free trial if you sign up prior to the launch. I did that. I'm going to do the 90-day trial. They're talking about having 4 hours of new content each day.
Wow.
And if you look at like Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, right.
Hmm.
But, you know,
well, and it's
the thing they're doing right, though, is that 90-day free trial, it's not just a week or a month. You know, 3 months is the way to do it.
They want you to get into a habit of pulling out your phone and instead of checking Twitter or Facebook, checking Quibi on your work break, while you're waiting for the bus, while you're on the metro train, while you're waiting in the doctor's office or whatever. And if you're doing that, please use headphones. But you know, they want this to be something that when you pull out your phone for a few minutes, you do this. They want this to become a habit. And if they can get you in the habit of doing it after those 90 days, you're subscribing. You're hooked.
Right.
That's smart.
I mean, I don't know what it says about us as a people who are consuming things, but, you know, attention deficit disorder is really here. I mean, 10-minute episodes or less, that's all we got time for.
We grew up as the MTV generation, Lou, and I know you were well into your adulthood by then, but the rest of us
not
like I can't really criticize this generation for having 10-minute long video content when I was watching like 2 to 3 minute long music videos back to back for 6 hours at a time. Like, you're right. But I think the problems that we have with current generations and the lack of attention span are more in other specific areas. I don't know that this is necessarily, I mean, paying attention to something for 10 minutes might be an attention increase for some of these people. Like, you can't go do other things on your phone while you're watching this.
Right, right. Yeah, it limits you. But yeah. I mean, hey, I'll try the 90-day free trial thing. I'll be in for that. If nothing else, I have something I tried and didn't like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Disney Plus, UK launch March 24th. They're going to have more than 850 titles included at launch time. That's impressive. I didn't know it wasn't released in UK yet. I thought it was released after ours, but not this long after ours.
Yeah, it's amazing that, like, I'm sure a lot of people who really wanted to watch it have, like, already, pirated things like The Mandalorian and such. But, boy, I feel bad for folks not having that and, like, having to suffer through the rest of the world talking about it.
But what took them so long, though? Is it licensing?
Yeah, that's probably.
What they think of, right?
Yeah, probably some regulatory thing. And also probably because they did not negotiate. I'm guessing that there was a negotiation with the EU, and because the UK is no longer part of the EU, that was a separate negotiation.
True. Okay. Either of you watch, or any of you watch The Magicians?
I need to catch up.
I do.
Do you? Big fan. I started season one, but I never went back to it. Not for lack of wanting to. I just dropped on my radar, I guess. Well, it's any.
Liz, I don't remember. Did you watch The Magicians?
No, it's on my short list because my friend Melly, I was talking about Good Omens, has mentioned it to me a million times, and I really would like to watch it, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's amazing. It's a mind blowing series. It's done really well. They did have a big change at the end of season four, and I think that was the downfall of season five. Even though season five is actually really good, I like the stories. But
so that's what's brought to a close. Season
I think five
was not good. Oh well.
Well, it's already extended past the books anyway, right? So
yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it was based on books. I don't know how far the books went.
Yeah, the books, there were, I think, three books, and I think they got through the books through season three and a half or four, and they deviated quite a bit from the books. The books were almost exclusively focused on Quentin. The TV show really branched out more into the other characters, and I liked that better, I think.
Okay.
But I didn't expect it had much more life in it.
Okay, well, on to our reboots, remakes, and sequels. Tim, why don't you bring us through what you got here? Because I haven't read through any of these.
All right, so the first one here, Josh Gad and Luke Evans are going to be reuniting for live-action Beauty and the Beast limited series on Disney+. This is basically a prequel to Beauty and the Beast. It's going to be focused on their characters. People especially love Josh Gad's character, so I think there was a lot of motivation for them to bring this in. It's going to be six episodes. It's going to be a musical.
Why do you say musical like that?
Because that Beauty is the best Beast way to is say a musical.
Why wouldn't it be a musical? Beauty and the Beast is a musical.
True. It does make sense. Yeah, Lizzie's got a good point there.
If you said A Quiet Place, the musical, then maybe.
Oh, that would be really interesting because it would just be silent.
Right.
That would be the best musical ever.
They'd all be dancing, though.
I would go see that musical.
Carrie, you might go see that musical.
I don't think we could call it a musical.
We have
episode, I think that a story about Gaston is stupid. No one cares about Gaston.
See, I think a lot of people do. I think that the how they were portrayed in the live action Beauty and the Beast, which was a really, really great movie, was done really well, and it was very funny, and it was really compelling, and a lot of people want to see more of it.
Maybe LeFou I could get behind, because I really liked his portrayal of LeFou, but I think Gaston's, forget him. But, okay, I will say there's a new Beauty and the Beast. I don't know if it's still happening, but there was a Beauty and the Beast sing-along at Epcot that was added. And they did this whole – this is a spoiler for it if you don't want to know what happens in this sing-along. I feel like
la, 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 la.
Oh, boy, I don't know.
A silly thing to spoil, but I know the three of you don't care. So,
not really. Go ahead, Lizzie. What you got?
basically the it's a retelling of Beauty and the Beast. And in the beginning, Mrs. Potts is like, but with a very unexpected twist. And it's basically LeFou got Beauty and the Beast together. Like, he sewed her dress. He made Maurice go to the castle. It's very funny. And like, okay. He's just in the background of everything, like basically like making Beauty and the Beast meet each other. And it's
interesting,
hilarious and random. So I'm a fan of LeFou because of that. So I could get behind a LeFou story because I just love that idea. But Gaston, get out of here. Yeah, why don't you make, I guess they made one about Maleficent.
Yes.
I still want a Quiet Place musical. I think that's brilliant.
No.
I want to know, like, can you imagine the songs they could write for that? We could bring in Lin-Manuel Miranda to write for the Quiet Place musical
with no actual music.
Well, maybe they would just whisper.
Yes, because whisper singing isn't annoying at all.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Have you heard regular singing in movies? It's also.
That's an opinion, not fact.
It is. All right, so next on Reboots, Remakes, and Sequels, critics are raving after early reviews of A Quiet Place 2, speaking of that.
The other musical.
Everyone, I mean, they have come out, a lot of the big critics have come out after these early screenings saying that, like, it's blowing them away, it's completely different than what they thought it was. I think that a lot of folks are now going into almost any sequel, almost any reboot, remake, or sequel out there with a little bit of skepticism. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. I think we're always concerned that, you know, some people are that the studios are trying to ride the train one stop longer than they really should be.
I think that concern is well earned.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, yeah. It is, because there are some really poorly done ones out there.
You really what?
Love who?
Me?
No, Lizzie, what were you saying?
What? I said I only really want to watch it because of Cillian Murphy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I hear he does really well.
I love me some Peaky Blinders.
And
there you go.
Oh, you're the one who is watching Peaky Blinders. Okay. Liz, I've been trying to remember who it was I knew who's been watching that. And it was, it was you.
Are you watching it?
I started watching it, and I'm really intrigued by it. I think it's phenomenally done.
I've heard that repeatedly.
Amazing writing.
It's on my list.
Amazing writing.
So good. And if you watch it, you know what you have to say when you say Peaky Blinders. There's a word in the middle that I can't say on this podcast. Because
you're right. You cannot.
But I want to
say it. Since we're also live. So.
And if you watch Peaky Blinders, then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But Cillian Murphy is so good in it. And what's his face? Venom. Oh. Tom Hardy's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know.
It really is. It's a great story. I mean, it's set just prior to World War I, correct? In London, and it's or is it just after World War I?
I think it's after because
It's just it's immediately after World War I in London. It's incredible. Really, just
blind us.
The writing is just so darn good. It's great.
I'm so glad you're watching it. Please message me all the time.
Yes, I absolutely will.
I want to live it through you.
So
back to A Quiet Place 2, though. The reviews have been stellar. I've seen a couple that are calling Krasinski like the next Spielberg, which I think is like maybe a little bit of hyperbole.
Wow, yeah.
He's
good.
I'm glad
it's
to hear.
Not just the movie's good. The reviews are emphatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear they're refreshing. Saying it wasn't what they expected and it's different than the first one. I'm looking at the trailer and I'm going, you know, I really want to see this, but I'm like, I hope they just don't do all the same things they did in the first one, you know?
I don't think
apparently they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they'd be enthusiastic.
I'm looking forward to it now more than ever.
I don't like scary movies at all, as we know this about Lizzie. I hate them.
Right.
But I did watch A Quiet Place, shockingly enough, because it's definitely not my jam. I would never have watched it otherwise. But I watched it on a plane, and I didn't have any earphones, and I watched it with subtitles, and I loved it. It was great.
It was a very good movie.
Well, and with subtitles, there wasn't much to read.
No, there wasn't, but
that's true.
There was enough, and I got the whole picture of the story and the gist without the actual like jump scares. And I don't like that. I just don't like jump scares at all, and I just don't like scary stuff. So I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was like visually stunning and just really really well done. So I would watch the second one on a plane sans headphones.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, the thing about Krasinski, I mean, who knows if he does end up getting to be as good as Spielberg? I don't know. But he is one thing I got to say, in very similar to Spielberg, is he's very, very visionary. The stuff he's doing is original, and that is so rare in this day and age. I mean, that old age of nothing new under the sun pretty much applies to 99% of the stuff that comes out of Hollywood. I mean, there is not a lot of really truly original stuff. The stuff that he's doing is just really, really unique. And I think that is so not only is it incredibly well done, but the uniqueness of it makes it also very compelling.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was one of the reasons why we started this segment of the show, is that, you know, the reboots, remakes, and sequels thing. It's just, you know, we want something new and fresh, and this one was. I mean, the first movie was completely new and fresh. And I don't mind them going back that well again, as long as they don't go back for A Quiet Place 7, you know, in a couple of years. I hope that doesn't happen, but
I mean, if I don't they expanding... keep making them good, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, but
keep
I think
making that, them good.
I don't think it'd happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. They wouldn't happen that way. I think at some point it would start to fall down. But I can see two or three of these movies. If you do a really good job with them, I'm on board.
Yeah, absolutely. So another, like, I think really incredible opportunity coming up here is that it was announced that Taika Waititi, who's known for doing Thor Ragnarok, Jojo Rabbit was the big thing that he just recently did. He is set to direct not one, but two animated series on Netflix themed for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
What?
Best way to do Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, by the way.
So he's actually going to be writing, directing, and executive producer of both. They are both based on that world and on the characters. So Roald Dahl's wife is still alive. And so she said that she wanted, Netflix had approached her on this, and she said that she wanted to, obviously she wanted her husband's work to live on, but she thought it was a great opportunity to essentially expand the stuff that he wrote about, to basically build out these worlds. So she actually sold the rights to a lot of her husband's properties over to Netflix. So things like Charlie and Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach, that kind of stuff. Hmm. And
I love James and the Giant Peach so much.
One of these is like really no surprise at all. And that is they're calling it a quote, wholly original take on the Oompa Loompas. Not surprised that there's an Oompa Loompa series at all, because that's like totally awesome.
Eric's face. I was waiting for one of them, Lou or Eric.
No, I'm on board with Eric on this. Yeah.
And the other one is just simply,
you broke me.
The other one is simply described as being based on the world and characters. So I'm assuming they're just going to do some additional world building in here and maybe referencing things with the factory and that kind of stuff. I think this is mind blowing. I'm excited about this. Hurts. I'm looking forward to it. Netflix does incredible animated stuff. I'm a really big fan of the animated stuff they do. Tim, I'm absolutely going to at least give this a try.
Tim, you know, I must have been spacing out. I didn't realize we jumped to the What Were They Thinking weekly part.
No.
Yeah.
No. This is legit and this is good, right, Liz?
Tim. Yeah, I think it's perfect.
No. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
So the first question we always ask ourselves when we discuss this sort of thing
I probably don't ask myself that question.
Is this something we need?
No, I never ask that question. And I'm always telling you that's the wrong question.
Is this something we need? Is this something that is worth them investing money in at the cost of developing something else instead?
Very valid question.
And maybe an animated series based on the characters in the world. Not my thing, but okay. The Oompa Loompas?
Two series?
No, even one if it's just the Oompa Loompas. Like, I would be okay never seeing an Oompa Loompa again in my life. Especially after that Johnny Depp mess.
I didn't even watch the Johnny Depp mess.
Oh my gosh, Lou! Oh no, no! Oh wait,
the original suffer. The original is the only one we want to see.
Yeah,
that's well, the original was awesome.
And it's terrifying.
It was like as a kid that boat ride. Holy crap! I think like that
could be like a horror film, by the way.
But
I think that they could do amazing things.
You have to watch it so we can talk about how horrible it is compared to the original. We're doing that a movie.
Why do I watch it? Things you say, oh, you're so bad you gotta watch this.
No, don't ever watch it, Lou.
But I don't see why we need two series. I mean, first of all, the world doesn't need to be expanded. Right? I mean, I don't know.
Well, why not?
I think there's so much really cool stuff that they could dive into there. Taika Waititi is one of the perfect people to be doing this because, I mean, similar to talking about John Krasinski and him being visionary, Taika Waititi is real visionary. He's also really quirky. He finds the humor in these amazing little niche things, and he just like makes them blow up in absolutely wonderful ways. I think it's great. I think it's absolutely
going to be fantastic.
I think one of them will be.
Well, I mean, I think most companies are interested in world building projects. That's just the facts of where we are culturally. Yes. So you can't really blame them for wanting to world build. It's just
no. But Oompa Loompas are just, it's like the human version of Minions, but not as funny.
Are Minions funny?
They're creepy.
But compared to Oompa Loompas, they're freaking stand-up comedians.
I think
with no dialogue.
Look how much Minions exploded.
Right. So let's make a Minions animated series with Taika Waititi.
Ew, why? No.
Why about the Minions thing, but the Oompa Loompas are okay? Like, we don't need to ask why about the Oompa Loompas, because I've got so many why questions in my head about that. There's like one why for each Oompa Loompa in the universe.
Okay.
It just goes silent.
Lizzie,
Liz, I am with you. I am with you on this, Liz.
I don't see how we can be friends anymore, Tim.
No. Nope. I'm with you on this, Lizzie. I think that it has potential to be incredible. It will be incredible.
Wait. Carrie said there's multiple books for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. There are multiple books.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that. Have you never read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
But, no, the book.
Yeah,
right.
I've never actually
there was books. A book.
Was she saying no, there were several. Oh, several. How many were there? Like,
I don't know. I thought there's only one.
Me too.
No, I think there's. Yeah, I think Carrie's right.
Wow. Huh. Okay.
Interesting.
I think that we can't count the Johnny Depp one because it's horrid. And if you're talking about, there's really one Willy Wonka out there, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's a very specific telling of this world. So I think to tell it in a cartoon form, there are interesting things to explore. And I think Oompa Loompas are one of them because you don't know anything about them, even like from that one portrayal of it that we have in like, you know, movie form or TV form. We don't know really anything about them from that. And so to kind of delve a little bit into how they got there, like, you know, who they are as people, I think is always an interesting thing. I think they're a caricature right now. And I think, you know, there's always Oompa Loompa jokes, but I think like they're, as far as like characters in a story, the book lends itself to being explored in a really visually dynamic way. And I think the cartoon is a great way to do it.
And that's the thing. Like, I've not read the book, so I know nothing of the Oompa Loompas other than them coming out and doing the worst choreographed dance in the world while they sing a really bad song every time. Like, I'm sure in the book they add, no, but like, seriously, I'm sure in the book that there's more value to them. And
there's a sequel, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
Okay. So I thought there were more than just the two, but
I'm only seeing two.
Okay. But like in the book, maybe the Oompa Loompas have more inherent value. And if that's the case, then yeah, bring that out on the screen. And I agree that an animated form is a good way to do Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I'm on board with that cartoon, the Oompa Loompa one I question. But again, keep in mind, my only points of reference are the Gene Wilder movie and the Johnny Depp movie, which went from like boring nonsensical to, oh my gosh, claw my eyeballs out with whatever rusty utensil I have on hand.
But okay, if you had only ever seen the Lou Ferrigno Hulk, okay? Yep. And you were like, oh, they're making a Hulk movie as part of the Marvel Universe, you'd be like, no, no, because of the Lou Ferrigno Hulk, no, no.
Yep. You're right.
And I think anytime someone comes along and adds a new vision to it, mm-hmm. and does it the right way and explores it in an interesting way, there's always more room for storytelling of that nature.
That is now, very fair.
To remake Lou Ferrigno Hulk in 2020, no, that belongs in the past.
Okay,
go back to your time machine.
Well, so did the other two Hulk movies, to be fair, like the Eric Bana Hulk.
Oh, and agreed. That movie is horrible.
Yeah. But no, like that's a really good point. Yeah. And I agree emphatically with your point. And I think that if anybody's going to do it, I think Taika Waititi is probably a good choice to do it. So
he's got that quirky off kilter kind of energy.
Absolutely.
It's like Tim Burton, but without the, oh my gosh, it's another Tim Burton.
Yeah. Without the
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, so no, I'm down with that. I don't understand it from what I've seen so far. And maybe I will once he does it. I'm open-minded to it. But maybe at the moment, I'm confused.
Yeah, I guess I'm confused because the last one, the abomination that we just talked about, wasn't received really well.
I didn't see it.
What's that?
You said you didn't see it.
I didn't see it. I'm going by what you guys are saying.
No, you're going to see it, Lou.
No, you're not, Lou.
We're going to duct tape you to a chair.
Don't go to the dark side. I support you.
Thank you, Lizzie.
No.
So bad. So our last item here in Reboots, Remakes, and Sequels is something else that I'm very excited about. And first of all, I really, really need to get out and see Invisible Man. Really, I just absolutely need to. Yeah. So this, in case people might not have been following, and I don't blame you if you haven't been, because this has been such a long and drawn out thing and had a really horrible false start, is that Universal... who owns
this episode?
No.
Sorry.
We did Universal. Universal owns the classic monster movies: the Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, Mummy, Invisible Man, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they kind of, you know, these came from the 30s. A lot of them in the 30s, some in the 40s. Then they kind of redid some stuff in the 50s and 60s, and now they're trying to kind of pull something together again. They're calling it the Dark Universe. And it started with the Mummy movie that was done by Tom Cruise, which I cannot endorse at all. That was not a good movie. Not a good movie at all. Invisible Man movie, which just released 2 weeks ago, is their second outing in this. And it looks like they have identified what their third film is going to be. And so they have announced James Wan, who is going to be the writer and producer of the next movie. James Wan, he was the writer and director, I believe, both for Saw, The Conjuring, some other movies of that ilk, which the first Saw movie I thought was amazing. The second one was still pretty good. After that, they like dropped off really quick.
Agreed.
But
we know, Lizzie, it's okay.
The Saw movie, I mean, again, talking about things, when you have that rare thing that's like really original, the first Saw movie, that concept was to me very, very original. I thought that was really well It was well fabricated and then well fleshed out. But then unfortunately they just kept recycling.
Yeah.
The Conjuring series, I actually did see just a few months ago, the first Conjuring movie. I thought it was pretty good.
I still haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was very well done. So from the sound of this and the general description of it, let me bring up the website here quick. It says that what this movie is takes a cues from Universal's classic monster legacy and shines it through a modern prism. With shades of Disturbia, the story will focus on a group of teens who discover that a neighbor is building a monster in his basement. Of course, the monster will get loose and no doubt terrorize the neighborhood, which is basically a modern day Frankenstein. Also, what was the movie that was done in the 80s? That was a comedy. It was really bad.
Weird Science.
Nope.
I mean, horror movie? That was actually good.
Hit something. Oh, gosh.
I got to give us more. It was in the 80s and it was bad. I mean, that narrows it down to at least three films.
I know.
it was a horror comedy, you said, Tim? Like a based on a horror movie?
Yeah.
Still, also narrows it down to like three films.
But that's a tangential thing anyway. So really excited about this. I have liked most of the takes on Frankenstein. I thought
Monster Squad.
Kerry said Monster Squad. No.
Oh.
But good. Good mention there. Yeah, I have liked most of the takes on Frankenstein movies that have been done. I'm looking forward to this, and especially as a modern take. I don't think we've ever had actual modern translation of Frankenstein. We've had things that have been inspired by
there
that have
was
different things.
There was a book series by Dean Koontz, and I think it got made into a television miniseries or something.
Yep.
Did you read it? Was it any good? I like Koontz.
I did read it, and for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it.
It was I, Frankenstein, wasn't it?
Was that his?
I think so, yeah. I'm pretty certain. I don't know. Carrie's in the chat. She reads a lot of books. She might remember. But yeah, I'm pretty certain that was the Dean Koontz series. And then I think that they did some sort of a television adaptation of it. But I never heard anything about the television adaptation. So I'm assuming that much like many of his other adaptations, like the Watchers movie and things like that, that it probably wasn't very good and it didn't really get noticed.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of a lag, so we're accidentally cutting you off quite a bit. We apologize for that.
Oh, that's okay. If you want to go a little offbeat with a Frankenstein adaptation, there's one called Frankenstein MD on YouTube. It's a web series done by Pemberley Digital, which is like one of my favorite. They don't do as much anymore, but they did the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which is a modern adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. They did Emma Approved. Which is a modern adaptation of Emma. And then they did a Sanditon mini, which was really good. And then they did Frankenstein MD, which was like their own take on Frankenstein. So that's like the only one that I know of, but it's super offbeat and like very small and quirky, but it's really cute and worth watching. Any of Pemberley Digital's series are, but their Frankenstein MD one is really cute. So I don't know. That's just a side note.
The Burbs.
Okay. What, Tim?
The Burbs.
The Burbs.
That's the name.
Oh, with Corey Feldman and Tom Hanks.
And Tom Hanks. That's when I was thinking of. Yeah,
I saw that.
I did, but I didn't remember a thing about it, except that somebody was doing something in a basement.
Yeah, there is. I thought there was something Frankensteinish going on there, but yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah,
it was interesting. Yeah, no, Liz, you're right. I mean, there have been some interesting off takes. I mean, obviously, it's an incredibly classic story. I mean, just like, I mean, probably not as expansive as stuff that's been inspired by Dracula, but very still. I mean, just as prolific. There's been a lot of stuff out there, whether it has been a direct like, hey, this is Frankenstein, or something that has been very much inspired by. Carrie says in The Burbs they were living next door to a serial killer. That's what it was.
Go ahead.
If you've never read the book.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
Hush, Lou.
Go ahead, Lou.
Liz, go.
I was going to say, if you've never read the book, you should read the book. It's very, very good. It's one of my favorites to reread.
Which book?
Frankenstein.
Oh, the original. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
It's a really great book.
Yeah, I've never read that.
I think a lot of people have
it up. Frankenstein from Dean Koontz. There's five books he's got. Prodigal Son, City of Night, Dead and Alive. It doesn't say what book 4 and 5 are. It looks like Lost Souls and The Dead Town, maybe. It was also a graphic novel.
Yeah. And I'll say Mary Shelley's original book is it's, you know, one of those things where the book is very different from the movie. There's a lot of like inner dialogue in the original book and that kind of stuff, like of the creature thinking through life and where he is and how he was created. And
sounds a lot like me. I can relate to this guy. I like this already. Why am I here? What am I doing with my life? Why did it go so wrong?
Movie out there, and correct me if I'm wrong, that has really explored it from like a full book perspective. I think they've just taken the concept of Dr. Frankenstein and his monster and rolled with that, but rather than like actually do the whole thing of him in the town and the townspeople response and the actual like Frankenstein's monster and his whole like inner monologue and everything. I don't think they've taken it to like that, like taken it seriously from a more existential, what happens when you create, what is your creation's life like perspective.
Yeah, right.
Which is what is interesting about the web series, because they do touch on it a little bit. I mean, it's still a little funnier and light, but they do kind of explore that on a little level. And then also always watch Young Frankenstein, because it's just fantastic.
Oh, Young Frankenstein that's one of the funniest movies out there.
Not a direct adaptation from the
Well, film. Yeah, certainly not. I'm just glad this isn't another Dracula thing. And
I love Dracula. I will watch every Dracula thing.
But it's not Dracula for me. It's just I'm done with the whole vampire thing. Like it's just. I'm glad that if we're going to be bringing back like classic monsters and stuff, I'm glad we're seeing the Invisible Man again. I'm glad we're going to get Frankenstein again. And again, like you said, James Wan.
Yeah,
he's done some really interesting stuff. So
go for it. You know, Eric, I do happen to be a rather brilliant surgeon. I could take care of that hump.
Okay. Sure. I got nothing to lose.
Okay, well, moving right along. Lastly, for this week, we do have a What Were They Thinking weekly. And Tim,
I didn't see it.
You moving found on. A doozy for us, Tim.
It looks like it got deleted from the show notes.
You sure? Because I think it's still there.
Hold on. Let me highlight it and delete it. Hold on.
I don't support it.
So you guys are familiar with Crocs, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No.
They're horrible. They're hideous.
The animal?
Does anybody here own a pair?
Negative.
Never.
Okay, good. So that means none of us own a pair of Crocs.
Never.
We're respectable humans.
Do any of us eat Peeps?
No.
What?
No.
Oh my
God. Absolutely not.
I love Peeps.
Never.
I literally don't know if I've ever had a Peep. I think I've taken a bite of one once and spit it out.
You got to open the package up.
It was kind of one of those I didn't inhale sort of things. Like I just didn't actually eat it.
I've had them before, but I don't eat them on the reg.
Yeah, just say no to Crocs.
They've got to be stale, though. They got to be a little crunchy.
If a food has to be stale, it's a different food.
No, right. That's the best part of it. That crunchy sugar
let's
layer.
Let's just get
outside.
On with the.
No, Eric and I are united in this.
Tim,
so for the three of you, these two horrific things are making a collaboration.
Absolutely.
And coming out with Peep decorated Crocs for Easter.
Were you here for the KFC Crocs episode, Lou?
I was not. I was not.
No, that was just you and I, Eric.
Then you understand the pain.
What was the KFC Crocs episode? I don't remember.
Tim,
that.
No. Was you go back and listen again, Lou. We are not going to then take additional time in this episode to have to re-traumatize ourselves through that. And then
there's a link in the article to KFC Crocs. Oh my God.
Who's that?
That's for Tim.
Oh, good. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Oh, good Lord.
She yeah, looks so way more attractive than the peep Crocs.
For the folks who may have missed out on the KFC Lord. Crocs, these were Crocs that basically they were like screen printed with
oh good Lord,
with fried chicken, and then there was like fried chicken adornments, and they apparently even smelled like fried chicken.
Lord,
I don't understand.
They were scented, fried chicken scented. Now imagine putting your feet in this. So now you have something that smells like a combination of feet and fried chicken. And then wanting your brand to be associated with the smell, not of fried chicken, which for some people is a very appetizing smell, but with feet mixed with fried chicken. Like that is now the olfactory association for your brand. Like which intern who should be either executed or fired by now came up with that brilliant idea?
Don't execute people, just fire them.
I wouldn't, but in this case.
We don't need to execute. Also,
Tim, I want to point out that never, even going all the way back to the beginnings of the What Were They Thinking segment, we were covering weekly Kanye West tweets. Never have we collectively so anxiously tried to sign off mid-segment than for this.
I have to say that fried chicken feet is very on brand for Crocs.
Really?
Fried chicken.
You're right. Like that could improve Crocs. I'm talking about for KFC.
Sure.
Like for them, not a good look that for was KFC. A bad.
Oh, wait. No, right. For so, Crocs. Breaking news from the chat room. David says these Crocs, these peep Crocs are sold out.
Yes. The adult sizes are sold out. The kids sizes apparently are still available.
What are they going for in the secondary market?
Just to read from the article here. They're releasing these just in time for
about,
Easter.
Like, parents abusing children and that like this shouldn't be happening.
They're releasing just in time for Easter. The shoes come in three colors, blue, yellow, and pink, just like the classic peeps.
They do.
Similar to the KFC Crocs that we talked about, they include special gibbets, which are like charms for your Crocs. These, of course, look like peeps, and they adorn the tops of your shoes.
Oh, good.
You might be
like the little things that go in the dots.
Yeah.
Oh, good. It's a whole culture.
So the secondary market on eBay.
Yep.
There's a set of pink ones for $120.
Wow. There's they retail for $50, by the way.
So it's blue getting right up there with $300.
Oh, wait. Will these protect you from coronavirus?
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for joining us, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, good Lord.
So, folks, before we do close out here, we do want to apologize for us like talking over each other a lot. We seem to have like a horrible kind of haphazard delay going on the Skype call tonight. And so that's why we keep talking over each other. We're not doing it because we're rude jackasses to each other. We're doing it because we think that no one else is talking when we start talk. So.
Yeah. Right. And it's also, I want to clarify for those watching in the stream, I know in the past we've had audio sync issues and stuff, and those have been mostly cleared up. There's always going to be a little bit of that the more people we get on the Skype call, and I don't think I'm going to be able to resolve that. But today specifically, it's not just laggy through the stream. It's laggy locally for us too. So there's a different thing going on. There's something about the actual connection itself. So right.
Our apologies.
Rude. We love each other, even despite this last thing, Tim.
Yeah, this was an all time low messenger. For us, but it was a fun story.
An all time low. I'm so glad I could bring it to you then.
Tim, thank you. You've done your worst.
I mean, you're not the intern getting shot by Eric, so I guess, you know.
I didn't say shot. That's very quick. I'm thinking something a little more lingering, perhaps.
Ah, the guillotine. Yeah. Always a good time to bring it back.
I was thinking Iraq.
Maybe we'll make them watch musicals.
How dare you?
Yeah, you're right. That is a little too far.
Don't make me break into song and make this podcast a musical.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, on that note, we are going to close out the episode.
Better. Starting. Here we go.
No, where's the mute button? Actually.
Eric, just get us out of here before we even have to do the closing. No.
All right.
Let me hear feedback from you guys. If you want to send us an email, please do so. We'd love to hear from you guys. At this point, we're going to take care of close this episode out, get Tim some Crocs, and we will come back at you guys in about a week.